This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. In a televised address on November 8, 2016, Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced his decision to scrap 86% of the country's currency overnight. The unprecedented move, he claimed, was aimed at countering black money and corruption and to curb the funding of terror activities. It is 3 years since the decision and the jury is still out on whether the move was a boon or bane for India's economy. Welcome to Money Control. This is Anvita Bansal and you are listening to In the News podcast, where we bring you the top news stories from India and around the world. First up, I'm going to talk about the controversial demonetization of 1,500 rupee notes in 2016. Let me first run you through the impact of demonetization. While numerous surveys suggest that people have mixed opinions on the move, the immediate economic impact was almost certainly negative. But at the same time, the government was confident it would have a positive impact on the economy in the long term. Demonetization was partly aimed at aiding a gradual shift towards a less cash economy and expanding the tax base. The use of debit cards at point of sales devices has grown 83% since November 2016. According to latest RBI data, the volume of debit card transactions has surged from 234 million in November 2016 to 428 million in August 2019. Now, according to a local circle survey in which 50,000 people participated ahead of the third anniversary of demonetization, 32% of the people said that demonetization was responsible for workers in the unorganized sector losing their income. Nonetheless, 28% of the respondents said the currency ban had few negative effects. However, 42% of the people were confident that the move clamped down on a large number of tax evaders. There were 25% people who felt the move had no benefits at all. Now here's the fact. After the government had banned the notes out of the 15.41 lakh crore rupees worth rupees 500 and rupees 1000 notes in circulation, around 99.3% of the notes worth rupees 15.31 lakh crore returned to the banking system. A mere 10,720 crore rupees did not return to the system. But this does not mean that just because the money has come into the system, it has turned white. Action is being taken against the shell companies and the Income Tax Department has been cracking down on lakhs of dubious businesses. While the opposition Congress Party has repeatedly called the move disastrous, it isn't 100% clear whether the demonetization was a failure or success. Well, moving on, the rating agency Moody has cut India's credit outlook from stable to negative. To give more details on this, I have with me Money Control Siddesh Raut. Hi Siddesh, welcome to the show.
Hi Anvita, thank you for having me here.
Siddesh, how did that reflect in the markets?
So the markets responded very negatively to the news. The Sensex closed at 330.13 points in the red to finally close at 40,323.61 points. And the Nifty closed 103.80 points lower to finally close at 11,908.20 points.
Right. What were the reasons for the downgrade?
So, according to a piece by Money Control's group consulting editor Manas Chakravarti, there are several points due to which Moody has revised its credit outlook.
Right.
Some of them include slowing growth, an outlook that the slowdown is likely to be long-lasting, the stress in the financial sector, job growth, amongst many others. It had acknowledged that the corporate tax cuts rates and the lowering of interest levels, which will provide a boost to the economy, but it was still uncertain about to what extent it would help in increasing the country's GDP.
Right.
Moody's was also a little skeptical that government would be able to meet its fiscal deficit spending. The government had projected it would spend around 3.3% of the country's GDP as part of its fiscal deficit, and Moody's has projected that to be around somewhere of in the range of 3.7% of GDP. So all these factors together contributed to its cutting at the credit outlook.
Right. What would be the impact of this announcement?
So referring back to the piece that I had mentioned earlier, the short answer is that it wouldn't really make much of a difference because this is again a cutting of the credit outlook and not the sovereign credit rating in itself. But nonetheless, this is something that has happened in the past as well. Moody's has revised the credit outlook earlier. But in this particular case, it's worth noting that Moody's had other kind of contentions. Previously, it had upgraded India's credit outlook rating from Baa3, which is the lowest rating, to Baa2 with a stable outlook. And this was because it had placed its faith in a lot of the schemes and the kind of reforms that the government was doling out at that point of time, which included demonetization, inflation-targeted monetary policy framework, Bankruptcy Act, bank recapitalization, Aadhaar, and the direct benefit transfer system, amongst many of them. It was sure that it would not, that these reforms that were put out would not be working immediately. But it had believed that the negative impact would soon go away and real GDP growth would rise to around 7.5% in FY18. Now, we've noticed that the government has been providing a lot of reforms in the past few months to take care of this economic slowdown. And the commentary had mentioned that it had acknowledged all of this, but it was still skeptical about the pace of implementation. Perhaps this could be another reason why it had attributed to this cut in the economic outlook.
Sidesh, how has the current government reacted to this negative rating?
So the government has come strongly against the credit outlook rating. It's responded that it's still amongst the fastest growing economies of the world, according to the World Bank. And it's undertaken a series of measures to ensure that it gets back to its level of growth and productivity. It stated that its fundamentals are strong, the inflation is kept in check, and its bond yields are still low. And we have noticed that the government has come up with a series of serious economic reforms, and we hope that it will definitely carry on in the future.
Right. Thank you so much, Siddesh, for all those details.
Thank you, Anvita.
Well, moving on, Google India has appointed Sanjay Gupta as the new country manager. To talk more on this, I have with me Money Control's Shraddha Sharma. Hi, Shraddha. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anvita.
Shraddha, when did this happen?
So basically, Google India announced it today that they have appointed Sanjay Gupta as the new country manager and the vice president of sales and operations.
Right.
The position that we know was vacant for around 8 months, which will now be occupied by him. Before him, it was Vikas Agnihotri, the country's director for sales in India,
right,
for Google, and he was serving as the interim managing director. We also got the statement from Sanjay Gupta where he says, and I quote, "I'm happy to join the passionate teams across Google and look forward to contributing to India's digital journey as it becomes an innovation hub for the world," unquote.
Shraddha, can you please give our listeners a little background about who exactly Sanjay Gupta is?
So Sanjay Gupta is the former managing director of Star and Disney India. He is known to have played a crucial role in increasing, you know, Hotstar's digital footprint. Hotstar is Star's OTT platform.
Right.
He's also been vital in building Star's sports business with launches of, you know, Pro Kabaddi League and Football League and acquisitions of various cricketing properties.
Right, right.
He is an engineer from Delhi College of Engineering and he later graduated from the prestigious IIM Kolkata. In a career, you know, spanning over 3 decades, Gupta has been the chief marketing officer for Bharti Airtel and led marketing for Hindustan Unilever's 2 largest segments.
Right. Has he already joined the Google office?
So he will take on the role at Google next year from the Mumbai office.
All right.
And he'll be managing teams in Gurgaon, Hyderabad and Bangalore. And also, I'd like to point out one thing that is very interesting, that less than a year back, Hotstar's former head, Ajit Mohan, joined Facebook,
right,
which is Google's, you know, major rival, and Mohan reported to Gupta. So
right,
after joining Facebook, Mohan has been focusing on building revenue for Facebook. And given this background, you know, Sanjay Gupta's major role will be critical in keeping Google ahead of Facebook in terms of revenue.
Well, the position that was vacant since a long time has been filled, and we'll see how Google India performs under Mr. Sanjay Gupta's leadership. Shraddha, let's talk about weather conditions. Since the past few days, India has been witnessing rainfall in the east and the west coast. Why is that happening?
So, what we have been hearing from IMD is that there were two cyclones. In the west side, it's Cyclone Maha, and east side, it's Cyclone Bulbul.
Right.
So, as per IMD, the Cyclone Maha would frizzle out in the Arabian Sea without hitting the coast of Gujarat. So, today it might be a depression and not really a cyclone.
Right.
But on the other hand, Cyclone Bulbul, which was over the Bay of Bengal, has intensified.
Alright.
So, the center is about, 30 kilometers south-southwest of Sagar Islands is what we know. There is also a forecast that there will be widespread wind speed of around 120 to 130 kilometers per hour, which could range up to 140 kmph when the cyclone will be at its, very severe form from today, that is November 8th.
Right.
The intensity is different for both the sites. So, cyclone couldn't call Cyclone Maha cyclone anymore, which is a depression now. But both sides of the coastal areas are experiencing rain. We are hearing, parts of Rajasthan is also experiencing thunderstorm with rains. Even in Mumbai today, we saw rains more towards the Palghar and Thane districts.
Right. What is the advisory that is issued?
So, there is an advisory to avoid the beach. It is advised that people in affected areas to remain indoors, and there is a total suspension of fishing. Gujarat has actually shut down tourist spots on beaches. To the east, the Odisha administrative authorities are told to keep a close watch on the developments and be ready, to handle extreme situations. The National Disaster Response Team, that is the NDRF teams, have been notified in both the states and are keeping a close watch. So areas to be severely impacted will be the Odisha and the coast of Bangladesh and West Bengal. Majorly all schools and colleges are shut in Odisha today. There is a 24-hour yellow warning and orange warning for Saturday.
Right.
That means it might intensify tomorrow with rough winds as it moves towards the north-northeast for around 2 to 3 days is what IMD has notified. So this is just, 6 months after Cyclone Phoni, which was a major cyclone. And it is a severe cyclone for Sundarbans, I think, after 10 years. So the two state governments are braced. The center has assured that there will be assistance as well. But IMD has predicted possible damage of thatched roofs, embankments and roads in the coastal districts of North Odisha and West Bengal.
Right. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for all the information.
Thank you, Anvita, for having me.
And now a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app. The offer is available on Android and the web.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In the News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write on mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, it's me, Anvita, signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend.